You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Your Name is in the Wind by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right, as I've been hearing Bishop Jake say recently, let's go to work. Genesis, the 41st chapter. Genesis 41. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading there. Genesis 41, starting at verse 12. And it reads, "And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee, I have heard say of thee." I didn't really see that, but I want to emphasize that. "I have heard say of thee." I heard people talking about you. "That thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, "It is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." For the sake of time, drop down to verse 38. "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck." Sound like he became a bishop. "And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the name of Egypt." As I said, this conference theme is kingdom impact. And I believe that every message that we receive in each of these six sessions will cause us to impact the kingdom of God and dominate in life, on our jobs, in our careers, in some way. And so the Lord spoke to me to tell you to start off in this conference that your name is in the wind. Look at somebody and say, your name is in the wind. You're going to be able to make greater impact because God's going to put names in the wind. When we look at this scripture context here, we see that Joseph, and I'll come back and talk about it as I go through this, but Joseph was promoted to a position of authority, of prominence, made second in command over all of Egypt. Pharaoh even told him, I won't even make a decision without you. He said, I'm Pharaoh, but without thee, no man shall lift up hand or foot in all the land. He said, before I do anything, I'm going to check with you. When we go on later on, Joseph would even tell his brothers, the Lord has made me a father to Pharaoh. The Lord put him in a position that only God could have done, but we see why he did it. And it's what I highlighted from Genesis 41 and 15. He says, I have heard say of thee. Let me interpret that. Your name has been in the wind. He heard about him because his God allowed his name to be in the wind. Now, among the promises that God gave to Abraham was, after he told him that if you leave your mother and your father, go to a land that I will show you. God told him, among other things, in Genesis 12 and 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So many people today are trying to make their name great. And God did not tell us, I give you power to make your name great. God did not say, if you get on social media, I'll make your name great. If you get enough Facebook friends, I'll make your name great. If you get the right size and get the right kind of teeth and the right kind of hair, I'll make your name great. No, God said, I will make your name great. Leave that to me. Look, somebody say, leave that to God. You know, you can try to make your name great, but you may not be as great as your name. Let me say that again. See, when you try to make your name great, you may not be as great as your name. And then people get disappointed because they thought based upon your name that you were this and had this. But God didn't bring you there, so you really can't even fulfill the bill yet, because you will make your name great and you took yourself to a place that your character didn't allow you to stay. God said, I will make your name great. And one of the ways that God blesses his people is by putting their name in the wind. That's one of the ways that God blesses his people, by putting their name in the wind. And when God puts your name in the wind, he uses the mouth and the voice of others to advertise you to a new audience. He uses the voice and the mouth of others to promote you into a place that you otherwise could not have gotten in. When God puts your name in the wind, he uses the mouth and the voice of others to sponsor you to a new level. Jesus' entire ministry was built upon God putting his name in the wind. How many of y'all love the Lord? How many of y'all love Jesus? How many of Jesus is your Savior? Well, and you never seen him. The only reason why you love Jesus so much is because his name has been in the wind for over 2,000 years. I haven't seen him, haven't touched him. I'm not going to argue about whether he got straight hair or woolly hair. I'm not going to argue with you whether he got olive skin or burned brass feet. But I know Jesus because his name has been in the wind. And I believe what was told me about Jesus. Are y'all hearing me? His entire ministry was built upon God putting his name in the wind. The woman with the issue of blood that we read about most prominently in Mark 5, the Bible says she came, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. She hadn't seen Jesus. She had never been in one of his meetings. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. The whole city of Samaria ended up having a great revival and getting saved because of a woman at the well who went and told them, come see a man who has told me everything that I've ever done. That woman at Samaria put Jesus' name in the wind. Blind Bartimaeus never saw Jesus, but Jesus was passing by and he heard Jesus because his name was in the wind, and he heard them talking about Jesus, and he cried, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That centurion, the one who Jesus told that who wanted Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus was on his way to his house, but then the man said, all you got to do is speak the word. He had never heard Jesus speak a word before. He had never seen Jesus working before. But the Bible says that he sent for Jesus because he heard about Jesus. What you hear matters. I said, what you hear matters. That's why the Bible says you got to be careful what you hear, because what you hear determines how you measure God. If you hear that God's a little God, then you won't think that he can solve big problems. If you hear that there's limits on God, then you won't realize that the boundlessness of his power and his authority. So God wants to put our name in the wind. Look at your neighbor and say, God won't put your name in the wind. I don't know what you do, but if you receive that, God's going to put your name in the wind. Hallelujah. What other folks going to try to make happen? God's going to make it happen for you, because you're going to put your name in the wind. I came in this first session to prophesy to somebody that God's going to put your name in the wind. In order for God to put your name in the wind, several things need to happen, or may need to be some prerequisites. Number one, your name needs to be good. When I had my Episcopal consecration in September, there were some bishops who I didn't know very well, who I invited to be part of the ceremony. But because I didn't know them very well, I called some other folks and said, do you know Bishop so-and-so? And they said, well, yes, that's a good person. They said, well, what you want them to do? I said, just read a scripture or something. And now some people, that's not a big deal. It ain't a big deal about just reading a scripture. But if I call you to read a scripture, your name need to be good. I don't even want you to hear you read the scripture if your name's good, if your name's bad. And see, some people, it's not that important to them whether people's names. I don't even hang around people whose names aren't good. I once called a pastor and sat down with him. I said, I know we're trying to be friends. I said, but I heard your name's not good. And this is what I heard. And I want to know if this is true or not, because that will determine whether or not we can be friends. See, some of y'all don't care about people's names, but if God won't put your name in the wind, your name got to be good. I don't care how popular people are. There's some people, you know, that you have there's some people, once you mention their name, oh, that make you look good. They say, oh, you know so-and-so? Yeah. Other people, you tell them, you know, you say, oh, they start backing up from you. Because you associate with somebody whose name is not good. And when you hang out with people's names who are not good, now your name that was good gets tainted. Look, somebody say, you got to protect your own name. You got to protect. I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I'm trying to help somebody. Because your name got to be good if God's going to put your name in the wind. Proverbs 22:1. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. See, a lot of people trying to get money. God said, no, you need to get a good name. Because a good name is rather to be chosen than riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Now, I need you to look at this scripture, because I've taught on and mentioned over the years, but it says a good name, you should want to choose a good name rather than choose money. He says, and loving favor. Now when you read the proverb, a lot of them, they're comparisons. Comparing this to that, and then comparing this to that. And what he says here, he says a good name is better than riches, and loving favor is better than silver and gold. Well, riches is silver and gold, right? But look at this. And a good name is associated with favor. Because if your name is good, you'll have favor. And if you got enough favor, you won't need the silver and gold. Because what other folks got to pay for, folks will give you. What other folks got to buy, you'll receive free. Because of favor. Because with favor, God raises up somebody somewhere, use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. So we need a good name more than we need riches and silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1, very similar scripture. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of the death than the day of one's birth. A good name is better than precious ointment. You need a good name. God said, in order for me to put your name in the wind, then make sure that you are working to keep your name good. How do you do that? By being a person of excellence, by being a person of integrity, by doing what you say you're going to do when you said you're going to do it. Amen. By letting your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And if you say I'm going to be there, you're there. And if you can't be there, you call and let them know you're not going to be there. And in some cases, if you can't do it, you ask to be released from it because you put your name on the line. Are y'all listening to me? God had to change before God could really bless Jacob. He had to change his name. I can't bless you with a name like that. The name Jacob means slickster. It means con artist. It means somebody will get over on you. It means trickster. And so when God had an encounter with Jacob, he said, thy name shall no longer be Jacob. Swindler, slickster. Watch this. If God didn't change his name, the children of Israel would have been known as the children of slickster. The children of the trickster. Folks would have been running from them. So God said, I got to change your name to Israel because a prince you are with God. You have relationship with me. You are royalty. I'm setting you up and setting your seed up after you. So I got to change your name. Look your neighbors and say, make sure your name's good. Secondly, for God to put our name in the wind, you need to represent him well. You need to represent him well. As much as we may get saved for God to bless us and prosper us and help us and help us fulfill our goals and our dreams and all that, I keep reminding us in these days that God did not merely save us. God didn't save us to do our thing. And God didn't save us to help us do our thing. God saved us to do his thing. That's called purpose. The truth of the matter, you don't go after purpose. You were born with purpose. You discover purpose. Purpose is what God had in mind for you before your great grandfather saw your great grandmama at the church picnic and said, can we go for a walk? Purpose. Purpose is what God wants to do with you, not necessarily what you want to do. Purpose is where God wants you to be, not necessarily where you want to be. Purpose is what God wants to use you to do, not necessarily what you go to school to do. That's why we need to find purpose before we spend all this money pursuing stuff that may not be God's purpose. And so God saved us to represent him. We're often reminded from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. He said, you are the light of the world. You are a city. I'm setting you up as a city on a hill that cannot be hid. And I'm not making you the light to hide you. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it can give light to all the house. Let your light shine. Look at your neighbor and say, the Bible didn't say nothing about no little light. The Bible's not. Y'all need to get rid of that little light. That little, the world getting darker and darker. Your little light ain't going to work no more. Amen. So your little light, gone. Get around sin, gone. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'm put on earth, oh my God, to bring glory to God. So God puts me in the earth. So when you look at me, you say like that, Miss Seeley, was it? I think that was Miss Seeley on Color Purple when she saw and she came to visit and saw in the market. She said, "There is a God." When I saw you, I said, "There is a God." When people see us, they ought to say, "There is a God. Look how God blessed them. Look what God's done in their life. There is a God." We should live in a way and reflect God in a way that people glorify God, not glorify us. With all of his anointing, with all of his wisdom. We see what Joseph says? When Pharaoh asked Joseph, I hear your name's in the wind, and you can interpret dreams. He said, God can give the answer. God will give the answer. The reason why he was there is because, as we saw, he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. Had to go back and remind and research again, because I always get the butler and the baker mixed up. Okay, you know, one of them died, one of them got hung, and one of them got his job back. And you don't want to get those mixed up. So Joseph is in prison because Mrs. Potiphar lied on him. And Mr. Potiphar didn't believe her that Joseph tried to rape her. Okay? That's why he's in prison. If Potiphar believed that Joseph tried to rape his wife, he was a slave, he would be dead. He knew she was a lying woman. He would have killed him. So he puts him in prison. But even in prison, everywhere Joseph went, the Lord was with Joseph. And everywhere he went, he represented God. And Potiphar saw that the Spirit of the Lord was on Joseph. Potiphar saw that God was with him. He gets down in prison. And the people see that God is with him. Ends up becoming warden in the prison. And then when these two men, the baker and the butler, had these dreams, because Pharaoh had gotten offended with them and put them in prison, they both had dreams, and they come to Joseph, and they said, "Well," Joseph saw they were sad. He said, "What you sad about?" They said, "Because we had a dream, and we don't know what it means. Nobody can interpret." And the first thing Joseph says is, "Well, can God interpret dreams?" Now we know that's not how we would say that today. We would say, "I can interpret that dream." And the first thing Joseph said, God can interpret dreams. Can I tell you, when you will recognize that whatever you do, God will do it through you, you can do more. Because God will put our name in the wind if we represent him well. That's why Peter reminds the church, 1 Peter 2:9, he said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are saved to represent him. Whether that's on a campus, whether that's in the courtroom, whether that's in a medical profession, whether that's on a stage, whether that's behind the scenes somewhere, whether that's in a corporate boardroom, whether that's in a cubicle. Every Christian got to remember that I'm here to represent him. We don't just represent God when we're standing at the door of the church as an usher. Come on now. We're not just representing God when you're standing on a platform on a praise and worship team. We're not just representing God when we're standing on a platform to preach the word behind a pulpit. Everywhere we go, we got to remember we're representing God. And after becoming a bishop, you know, I wear my civic attire more. And every time I put my one of my clergy shirts on, Pastor Marshall, mommy, she said, "Now, don't forget you got that on now." We'd stop by a hotel, go in a restaurant. She said, "Now, if the service ain't good, don't forget." See, because don't forget who you're representing. Come on, you shouldn't have to wear a collar to know that you represent God. You shouldn't be, "If I didn't have this collar on, I'll cuss you out." No, I can't cuss you out, period. Everywhere I go, know I represent God. Are y'all listening to me? Now, I'm very serious. I think we as Christians, we got to be more mindful of that. A lot of these questions we're asking, well, is anything wrong with this? Anything wrong with that? Can you do this and still be saved? Nobody should have to go around answering all those questions for you. The question is, does that adequately represent him?
Are you ready to have kingdom impact? Get ready to walk in a new level of authority with these powerful messages from Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marcia Bailey, and guest speakers, Dr. Bill Winston, Pastor Michael Todd, and Pastor Mark Baker. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for the Direction for Life Conference, Kingdom Impact. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.